to the Talk Radio Countdown Show with Doug Steffen, counting down what America's talking about.
The Talk Radio Countdown.
Can you tell the folks at home that no matter what happens, the Social Security checks are going to go out on August the 3rd? There are about $20 billion worth of Social Security checks that have to go out the day after the government is supposedly going to go into default.
Well, this is not just a matter of Social Security checks. These are veterans checks. These are folks on disability and their checks. There are about 70 million checks that go out.
Can guarantee as president those checks will go out on August the 3rd?
I cannot guarantee that those checks go out on August 3rd if we haven't resolved this issue, because there may simply not be the money in the coffers to do it.
There's the president talking to Scott Kelly about what they think might happen if there's no deal on the debt before the August 2nd deadline. Much ado about nothing. What do you think? 800-510-8255. That's how we get started in this hour of the countdown. On CNN, Ali Velci talked to Jay Powell, former Treasury Undersecretary in the Bush years, about what he believes will happen on August 3rd if a deal isn't reached.
Ultimately, if we get to that deadline, that August 2nd deadline, and we have not increased the debt limit, somebody in the Treasury Department, maybe the Treasury Secretary, maybe one of the undersecretaries, is going to have to start making decisions as to who gets paid.
That's right. If we don't raise the debt ceiling by August 2, then we're going to wake up on August 3 with not enough cash to pay our bills. In fact, we'll be 44 cents on the dollar short of enough. And we'll be cutting programs that are very popular and very important.
Let's go through some of this. Let's talk about where we'll stand on August the 3rd if this doesn't happen. We'll need about $32 billion in some payments. And when you break it down, we're going to have $12 billion in revenue, $32 billion in expenses. So there are things that could get cut, and included in that could be defense, could be $1.8 billion to the Department of Education, $500 million in federal salaries and benefits, $2.2 billion in Medicare, Medicaid, $1.4 billion in food stamps and welfare payments, things like that. Where do you start making those decisions?
Well, the real problem with August 3 is that there's a very large Social Security payment due in the amount of about $23 billion. And I should stress, these are our estimates using public data, and we think they're pretty close to right. But so you have $12 billion of inflows on the 3rd. You'll have some cash left over from the 2nd, but not enough to pay all the bills, and you'll have this giant Social Security payment. So we don't have any certainty around what would happen, but you'd have to say that that big Social Security payment, which is the biggest one of the month, is really at risk if the debt ceiling is not raised by August 2.
And we keep hearing people in Washington on both sides of this debate say, well, clearly we wouldn't miss payments to Social Security, or clearly we wouldn't miss payments to our military, or clearly we wouldn't miss debt payments. Who makes that decision?
Well, the administration makes that decision. That would be a White House OMB decision among all the economic leaders would get together. But that's not their role in our system of government. Of course, Congress is supposed to make those decisions. Effectively, what's happening here is Congress has ordered spending, and then it hasn't provided the executive branch with the funds to carry out its legally binding orders.
Let's talk about August 15th. That's the next big day if we didn't raise the debt ceiling. On August 15th, we'd have revenue of $22 billion, and this is in a day, and expenses of $41 billion there. You mentioned on August 3rd, we'd have a $23 billion Social Security payment. On August 15th, we'd have a $29 billion interest payment. So more than the revenue we bring in is due just in interest on that day.
That's right. And what that means is that you have to steal some revenue from prior days, because I think everyone should understand that we're always going to pay the interest on our Treasury bonds. We just will. That will be the highest priority, because it is literally unthinkable that we would default on a bond. The possible effects
I agree with you 100%, and a lot of people do, but when you say it's literally unthinkable that we would default on the payment of a bond, why? Tell our viewers what might happen if we did that.
If we defaulted on a bond, then we would really be looking at potential catastrophic consequences in the global financial markets, along the lines of what happened, and worse, in September of 2008. The entire financial system is built on the idea that the United States is a credit risk-free entity, and that there is no risk, and all over the world people hold our bonds at a certain valuation. If we shake that basic foundation of the system, and it's not going to happen because it would be so grave, then the consequences are unthinkable.
Up next, more on the debt talks as one host talks to a congressman about simply canceling the debt. That's next on the Countdown.
Here's another question from the Geico Savings Mailbag.
Susan from Miami asks, do you believe virtue is its own reward?
Ah, yes, indeed I do. But I also think cash is a pretty nice reward. And cash is exactly what you could save when you switch to GEICO.
Right.
Yeah, and GEICO also offers rewards in the form of good driver discounts, multi-car discounts, and defensive driver discounts.
So maybe discounts are their own rewards.
Hard to argue with that.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com to see how much you could save. GEICO. 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Ever wonder what would happen if you push the OnStar button in your pre-owned GM vehicle? If you're not an OnStar subscriber already, press the blue OnStar button now, and you can try 3 months of OnStar free with no obligation. That includes automatic help in a crash, navigation, remote door unlock, and more. So push the blue button now and ask for 3 months on us. Offer available on 2006 and newer digitally equipped GM models. Visit OnStar.com for coverage map, details, and system limitations. OnStar. Live on.
The greatest speeches.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
Of all time.
Because this is the party of Lincoln and Reagan.
On The Conservative Voice.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
The Conservative Voice, a two-disc DVD or CD containing some of the most powerful speeches ever. Featured are Ronald Reagan.
Our government is too big.
Sarah Palin.
Let's drill, baby, drill, not stall, baby, stall.
George W. Bush.
I can hear you, and the people who knock these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
Highlights of speeches from some of the most legendary figures in American political history can be yours now. Here's how to order.
To order, go to www.conservativevoice.us/Doug. That's conservativevoice.us/Doug. conservativevoice.us/Doug.
You want two things from your spray painting project, right? You want it to look great, and you want it to last. That usually takes two products, a primer and a paint. But not anymore. New Krylon Dual Paint and Primer does both jobs. So in just one easy step, you get great Krylon color and a finish that lasts like you primed it. Krylon Dual Paint and Primer in one for a great look that lasts. Krylon. Make it yours. Available at Walmart. Save money, live better.
Join Macy's in Reading is Fundamental and Be Book Smart. Now through Sunday, July 31st, give $3 to provide a book for a child and we'll give you $10 off a purchase of $50 or more. Macy's will donate your $3 to Reading is Fundamental to help reach our goal of giving 1 million books to kids. Be Book Smart, now through Sunday, July 31st at Macy's. Exclusions apply. See a sales associate for details. Learn more at Macy's.com/RIS.
This is the Talk Radio Countdown Show. I'm Doug Steffen here, focusing on talk radio, talk television, the budget, the debt, et cetera, et cetera. Getting it going over in Washington. Here from MSNBC, Dylan Radigan speaks to Congressman David Swikert of Arizona about what he, Radigan, thinks is the only solution to canceling the debt.
From where I'm sitting, it looks like the Republicans made a political decision or some component of Republican leadership. I know that there's many individuals, but made a political decision that Barack Obama was going to be stickered with this debt, that this is not America's debt, that this is Barack Obama's debt, and this McConnell deal and all these deals are basically ways for politicians to appear to be not responsible, that it's Barack Obama's raising the debt ceiling, but I voted against it because I'm a tough guy, when the reality is that strikes me as a very cowardly posturing.
And that would be. And Dylan, and I disagree with you, obviously, because think of this. When we all marched onto the floor of the House, we did that Ryan budget. You know, we also stepped on the third rail. You know, we said, hey, we're willing to talk about entitlements. There's nothing cowardly about that when even my own pollster says, understand, a whole bunch of your freshmen aren't coming back because of the vote you just took. And also even what you were talking about before, some of this political theater when they were talking the $4 trillion-plus deal, look at the political press. A lot of the left was not happy with this either, which may mean we were actually going the right direction when both sides were a little cranky.
Again, I can see the argument to raise taxes. I think it is insulting. I can see the argument to cut spending and create austerity and basically solve this problem on the backs of poor old people, poor young people, and the least politically represented, which is how I view it, and most of the entitlement reform, which I argue is also cowardly and quite honestly sad. You can print money.
But it's actuarially reality.
No, I see. Here's where I disagree. Here's where I disagree with you, Congressman.
Let's talk about one thing.
Let me finish, because the way this works is you guys like to pretend that the 1945 option of canceling the debt, which is the only way out of this problem, it is the only way out of this problem, doesn't exist. You can get taxes to 100%. You can cut spending to zero. I can kill all the people. You will still have debt. And unless you cancel the debt, as they didn't do in 1939, so they had a world war for 6 years, and then after 6 years, they're like, hey, what do you say we cancel all this debt? And as long as we walk around pretending that we can't talk about canceling the debt as if taxes or austerity is going to solve the problem, all we're doing is torturing the poorest and the weakest people in our society. Yeah. I don't see how else you can see it.
You and I have a fundamentally different view of economics, and so let's jump into this century.
Sure.
We're not going to cancel the debt.
How much do you want to bet?
No, you can't. Particularly
sure you can.
As interconnected this world economy is, I'm not going to be the one that stands up and be responsible for bringing the entire world into a long-term depression.
No, but that's fear-mongering on your part, because walk into the room and saying, I'm going to do a heart bypass surgery by saying, I'm going to open your heart and then figure it out, is a great way to scare people. But the reality is, if you walk in the room and say, listen, the banking system is corrupt, it has no capital, there's nothing there. We are going to write down this debt. Before we do that, we're going to create an infrastructure bank to bypass the lost lending in order to move forward. That's how they did the Marshall Plan. So you're telling me you think taxes and austerity can do it?
Dylan, if you and I had a couple hours, I can walk you through a dozen reasons why mechanically that doesn't work.
And if you and I had a week, I could walk through a dozen reasons why you have no choice but to figure out how to make it work.
Over on Fox, Bill Hemmer talks to Senator Pat Toomey about his editorial in USA Today.
I read your USA Today editorial this week. In part, you say the following. As it reads online, it says, a calculated political maneuver designed to intimidate Republicans into raising the debt limit with no meaningful spending cuts or process reforms. Explain your point.
Well, what I'm referring to is the administration's repeated shrill exaggerations about the consequences of not raising the debt limit prior to or immediately on August 2nd. Specifically, this talk about default on our debt is completely untrue. There's more than enough cash that will be coming into the Treasury in the form of ongoing tax revenue, actually more than 10 times the revenue that's necessary to avoid a default. So we're not going to have a default. But what we would have is a partial government shutdown. That's disruptive. That's not ideal. And that's why I've been arguing that we ought to reach an agreement, but it shouldn't be yet another huge round of tax increases that the president's calling for. The first one I'm referring to, of course, was Obamacare and the hundreds of billions of tax increases on every American, rich and poor, that bill included. We don't need to do even more damage to our economy.
Can I stop just for a moment on the point you're making about a political maneuver? But Mitch McConnell has come out and said you need to raise the debt limit. John Boehner has done it. Are they falling for a political maneuver, in your words?
Hey, I've never said that there's a permanent alternative, right? I mean, if we don't raise the debt limit, we'd have to cut total government spending by something like 30% overnight and keep it there. That's very dramatic. That's very disruptive. That's not a long-term solution. But it's also not a default on our debt. It's not a financial crisis. My point is, let's reach an agreement, and why not base that agreement on reaching a balanced budget? We did it back in the 90s with a Democratic president and a Republican Congress. Now we've got a divided Congress and a Democratic president. Several of us have introduced a bill that would raise the debt limit by the full amount the president has asked for, provided that he agreed to put us on a path to a balanced budget.
Okay, so to be clear, you would vote to raise the debt limit so long as you got the spending cuts and trimmed it off on the other side.
Oh, I've been clear since I was sworn in January that I would be willing to raise the debt limit if we fix what's broken here. Real cuts in spending, real caps on spending, and a balanced budget amendment that allows us to end this mounting deficit and debt disaster we've created.
Coming up, Talk Radio focuses on what needs to be cut in order to get a debt deal done. That's next here on the Countdown.
If you owe the IRS money you can't pay, then listen carefully, because you already know that the problem won't go away by itself. You can get help today from the leading tax expert in the country, Dan Pilla.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. The IRS isn't going to just forget about you. Right now, the IRS is hiring thousands of tax collectors to go after delinquent accounts just like yours. That's why you need to take action today, and I can help. I take a simple but proven approach to solving your tax debt problem. First, I stabilize collections so you don't have to worry about wage and bank levies. Next, I build a detailed plan to get your debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even eliminated. Finally, I work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. So call now for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829.
Dan Pilla will solve your tax problem, guaranteed. He's helped thousands of people, and he can help you, too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
If you drive for a living, you don't get paid to stop or wait in line. Keep your wheels moving with PrePass. Bypass way stations. Fly by port of entry facilities. Stay moving at highway speed while the guy without PrePass waits in line. Save time, save money. Call 888-401-PASS to try PrePass free. That's 888-401-PASS.
What's cooking at PrizeKitchen.com? Plenty! Low prices on your favorite kitchen brand appliances, Vitamix blenders, Omega juicers, reverse osmosis systems, and more. Plus, free shipping on it all. PrizeKitchen.com gives your family the tools for a healthy lifestyle by eating more fruits and veggies and drinking pure water. Go to PrizeKitchen.com. Great selection, low prices, free shipping. PrizeKitchen.com. We help make healthy lifestyles convenient.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
Back on the countdown, Talk Radio, Talk Television, Political Talk Radio in the focus. We overview a lot of television and radio programs to put the sense of what the big deals are. The budget is on top of the heap. Host Bill Meyer here with political analyst Dr. Grace Vuolo, who thinks the best way to balance the budget and solve the debt problem is to cut all foreign aid.
So you're saying it is time to cut all foreign aid, since America needs every penny of its own money. I'm sure people would then accuse you of dangerous isolationism. I imagine that's probably some of the response. But anyway, give us your point of view on this.
Well, look, the nation is facing bankruptcy, and foreign aid is a luxury. It's like having a yacht in your backyard, and they're about to foreclose on the home. This has just got to go. It is $45 billion that we are doling out to countries all over the world. I think Americans would be shocked if they knew that only 8 countries in the world don't get money from us. That means that even really rich countries get cash from America, countries like Canada and Norway and Poland and the Bahamas. I mean, countries that do really well get money from America. And even some of our enemies get cash from us, like Russia, for example. So this is basically we have a program here that's just completely out of control. And, you know, it doesn't isolate us to say we are not going to give away foreign aid anymore. Because what happens is Americans are amongst the most generous people in the world. Americans give about $16 billion a year to foreign charities. And this is the kind of thing that actually wins more hearts and minds than when the government does it. What usually happens when the government doles out foreign aid, that money is siphoned off to corrupt elites, and then it creates a backlash within those countries. Nationalists rise in those countries and say that America is an imperialist meddling power and is, you know, tampering in their domestic affairs. So actually it completely backfires. It is a waste all around. It doesn't win us friends. It actually creates more enemies, and it creates more animosity, and it doesn't get to the people that we really want to help.
Host Dale Jackson here focusing on the debt and how he thinks that no matter what happens, Mr. Obama is going to come out of this as a winner.
Who is the winner here? Is the winner Barack Obama? Even if they lose and have to compromise. Let's just say that eventually they come up with a solution. Let's ignore whatever the solution actually is. Because know what the argument's going to be down the road. When the nation was in a position that it was on the brink of financial insolvency, there you go. The Republicans wanted to raise taxes on the poor and protect the rich. Some Republicans. We've heard it a few times. There's some out there saying it, and then there are others saying, there's some saying no new taxes, which is the official position. But there are some out there who are saying, hold on. You want to talk about shared sacrifice? Let's talk about sharing the sacrifice from those 47 to 50 whatever percent that pay nothing. Go after them. All right? So there's that angle. They want it, but they want to protect the big fat cats, the jet owners, the best-selling authors, the corporate fat cats, the radio talk show hosts. They want to protect their income. The Democrats, on the other side, what they want to do is they want to protect the poor, the downtrodden, the old, the sick. And what they want to happen is quote-unquote shared sacrifice, which is the buzzword of the week. Shared sacrifice. Google it. Look it up. It's everywhere. Okay? The GOP has taken this term, and their argument is that the debt vote is a shared sacrifice. Republicans dug in deeper against adding tax revenues to any deficit reduction package, suggesting that voting for a debt ceiling increase qualifies as shared sacrifice, and even taunting President Obama by saying if he feels compelled to pay more taxes, he can write a check anytime he wants. I like this. I wish the Republicans would push this more. I really do. I wish the Republicans would actually push this whole, hey, if you want to help out, write a check.
Up next, we shift the focus to the presidential race and the controversial marriage vow pledge. Next up on the Talk Radio Countdown Show.
If you need to raise funds for your charity organization, Macy's Shop for a Cause is the perfect opportunity. Qualifying groups receive special tickets to sell for $5 each, and you keep 100% of the ticket proceeds, so sell as many as you can. On Saturday, August 27th, ticket buyers receive exclusive savings in every Macy's store nationwide and on Macy's.com. To see if your group qualifies and to sign up, go to Macy's.com/shopforacause.
Wearing glasses with Crizal lenses can make a big difference in your vision. Neither the sandstorms of the Mojave Desert, nor the dust and dirt of a Texas rodeo, nor the glare of the bright lights of Broadway can keep you from having the clearest vision possible. For no-glare lenses with great water, dirt, dust, scratch, and smudge resistance, choose Crizal. Live life in the clear. That's C-R-I-Z-A-L. Crizal, ask for them at your eye care professional.
I'm in the, we use 50 kinds of fasteners, and if we run low, we need more of them. Fast business.
At Grainger, we know what business you're in.
The more our customers grow, the more we grow business.
The business of getting things done. That's why we offer over 900,000 products and the support you need to get your job done right and on time. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by one of our branches. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Save big during the PetSmart Power Sale. You'll find great deals on thousands of items when you use your Pet Perks card. Save $4 on all varieties of Iams cat food in 16 to 20 pound bags. Iams has a new taste your cat will love. And PetSmart has the largest selection of Iams formulas among leading retailers. Try Iams today because healthy never tasted so good. Don't miss this great Iams deal only at PetSmart. Happiness in store. While supplies last, offer valid through July 24th.
The GCN Radio Network, providing the world with hard-hitting talk radio. GCN. Great talk radio starts here.
Do you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt? Behind on your payments or barely making minimums? Massive interest payments have you running like mad in circles. How long can you keep it up? Stop running. Let the Thomason Law Group carefully plan your escape. We're one of only a few remaining debt relief companies to survive massive government crackdowns. Why? Because the Thomason Law Group has proven itself, helping thousands of people like you reclaim their financial future for over 18 solid years. We have an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau and offices in all 50 states. Our expert credentialed staff can specifically tailor make your absolute best recovery plan. I'm a paid spokesperson, not a lawyer, and every case is different. But if you owe $10,000 or more in credit card debt, call the Thomason Law Group now for a free no obligation consult with a trained legal analyst. 1-800-756-3744. Call now because you're tired of running. 800-756-3744. 800-756-3744.
Local Army Navy surplus stores are hard to find these days, but not military issue supplies. They're right here online at mainmilitary.com. That's right, just like the state, M-A-I-N-E, military.com. We have everything for true total preparedness. MaineMilitary.com is not a typical website. It has much more than your old surplus store. Quality military-issue survival gear like canteens, mess kits, utensils, gas masks, filters, and chemical suits. Magnesium fire-starting tools, strike anywhere, waterproof, and storm matches. First aid kits, splints, tourniquets, parachute 550 cord, military manuals, sandbags by the bale, and a huge Molly assortment of vests and pouches for every need. Call 207-989-6783, 207-989-6783, or visit MaineMilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E, military.com, the Maine name in military supply.
Spring and summer bring out the best of nature, but blooming flowers, grass, and weeds emit pollen everywhere. Spring cleaning, molds, funguses, and pollens can cause severe allergic reactions. It's time to fight back. Get a blast of nature's most powerful natural remedy with Oreganol P73, the most powerful oil of oregano available anywhere. Oreganol P73 is an extract of hand-picked wild oregano grown in mineral-rich soils found only in the mountains of the Mediterranean. Experience this powerful and effective spice you can't find anywhere else. It is so effective, even the ancient Greeks used oregano for their health. And it's not just a mere spice. Oreganol P73 is also available as gel caps and as a sea salt based nasal spray. Use Oreganol P73 and stay healthy all summer long. Order today by calling 877-817-9829. 877-817-9829. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. These products are not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
We're counting down what America is talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
I'm Doug Steffen. Welcome back in. Second half hour of this hour's Talk Radio Countdown Show. The presidential race and that marriage vow pledge, which was signed by both Michelle Bachmann and Rick Santorum. From CNN, Anderson Cooper talked about the parts of the pledge that are quickly causing problems for both of them.
The four-page pledge the conservative group in Iowa has asked all the Republican presidential candidates to sign. It's called the marriage vow, and candidates who sign it promise to fight against same-sex marriage, women in combat, quickie divorces, pornography, and Sharia law, among other things. The man behind the pledge is Bob Vanderplas. That's him. He runs a group called the Family Leader, and he's a major force in conservative presidential politics in Iowa. Now, two Republican candidates for president, Michelle Bachmann and Rick Santorum, were quick to sign the pledge. But since this weekend and today, they've had to defend that decision because there's something else written into it, something which is factually incorrect and shows a gross misunderstanding of American history. The problem passage is right on the first page of the pledge in the preamble. It reads, quote, "Slavery had a disastrous impact on African-American families. Yet, sadly, a child born into slavery in 1860 was more likely to be raised by his mother and father in a two-parent household than was an African-American baby born after the election of the USA's first African-American president. The implication that African-American kids were better off in their home lives under slavery than kids today because they had a mother and a father and a two-parent household. That is simply incorrect. There's also an implied notion that somehow this is in some way connected to President Obama's election, but ignoring that, let's just look at the history. We checked with Columbia University's Eric Foner, perhaps the preeminent historian of the era. He tells us that slaves had no legal right to marry. Slave families had no legal existence under slavery. Families were often divided. Male slaves were particularly valued, and so they were often separated from their children, sold, traded to others, sent away. There were no family rights whatsoever. The marriage pledge actually has a footnote citing the source for this statement. But it turns out one of the authors of the study cited in the pledge in that footnote was contacted by Forbes magazine and said the claim about mothers and fathers under slavery is just wrong, a serious error. Well, with outrage over the incorrect version of history in the pledge growing, the organization behind the pledge has removed the entire paragraph mentioning slavery. But if you think they admitted a mistake, you would be mistaken. A spokeswoman for the Family Leader, Vanderplas's organization, tells Politico, quote, "We agree that the statement referencing children born into slavery can be misconstrued, and such misconstruction can detract from the core message of the marriage vow." She goes on to say, "It was not meant to be racist or anything. It was just a fact that back in the days of slavery, there was usually a husband and a wife. We were not saying at all that things are better for African-American children in slavery days than today." The first part of her statement is a classic non-apology. "We're sorry if you read it wrong." They say they're only removing it because it can be misconstrued, not because it's wrong, which it is. She then restates the incorrect statement that, quote, "In the days of slavery, there was usually a husband and wife." So what do the candidates who signed this pledge now say? Well, we asked both Michelle Bachmann and Rick Santorum to come on tonight to explain. They both declined. Santorum's spokesman telling CNN he was pleased to sign the pledge, although he agreed with the group's decision to remove that whole slavery clause. A Bachmann spokeswoman, meantime, said, quote, "In no uncertain terms, Congresswoman Bachmann believes that slavery was horrible and economic slavery is also horrible." She tries to suggest the congresswoman only agreed with part of what she signed, telling Politico she, quote, "stands behind the candidate vow, which makes absolutely no reference to slavery." That's true. The 14-point candidate vow does not make reference to slavery. There's only four pages of this, and the slavery paragraph is the very first bullet point on the entire document. It's not like you can miss it. Now, clearly, presidential candidates are busy people. They don't always have time to sleep, let alone to read the fine print of pledges. But this wasn't fine print, and presidential candidates do have staffers who should read these kind of things.
Here's host Chris Bradshaw. He's opening up about the latest batch of problems for Ms. Bachmann.
Welcome to the center stage, Michelle Bachmann. By the way, the Christian Counseling Center that Dr. Marcus Bachmann runs. Now, mind you, Michelle Bachmann said they don't take... Oh, we didn't take any federal money. Actually, they received $137,000 in Medicaid funds. Oh, and by the way, the PhD that Dr. Marcus Bachmann, husband of Michelle, has on his wall comes from the Union Institute. That is a correspondence school out of Cincinnati that in 2002 was cited by the Ohio Board of Regents. Quote, "expectations for student scholarship at the doctoral level were not as rigorous as is common for doctoral work. It is not licensed with any of the boards that certify mental health professionals in Minnesota, but Minnesota is one of the few states that allow unlicensed people to practice mental health care." By the way, Dr. Marcus Bachmann's partner in the firm got his M.A. from Argosy University, a for-profit diploma mill. Now, this is obviously very troubling for Michelle Bachmann because when she was a state senator in the great state of Minnesota, she tried to pass SF-2984. Now, mind you, her husband, after claiming, by the way, that they didn't do reparative therapy in the city pages, that's a alternative weekly in the Minneapolis area, in 2006, in an effort to, well, I would argue, help out her husband's little clinic, Michelle Bachmann wanted the Minnesota Expanded Healthcare Practices Act for licensed healthcare professionals. What it would do is allow methods, modalities, treatments, procedures, or protocols that have not been generally adopted by a profession that, or that are not generally considered to be within the prevailing minimum standards of care or that are not standard practices of a profession in a particular community to be recognized so that, you know, insurance would have to cover them in the state of Minnesota. So you have the pray away the gay therapy, which has been discredited by the American Psychological Association. Michelle Bachmann simply wanted to change the law in Minnesota so that she could get paid. Now, luckily, the bill didn't go anywhere, but that's how Michelle Bachmann works.
Coming up next, there's a new wrinkle in the Casey Anthony story. That's up next here on the Talk Radio Countdown.
Here's another question from the Geico Savings Mailbag.
Sam from Provo writes, "How come a slim chance and a fat chance mean the same thing, but a wise man and a wise guy are opposites?"
Oh, it's a peculiar mystery indeed. Sort of like how Geico's website is geico.com, not geico.ridiculouslysimplesavings or geico.payyourbill from the comfort of your computer. Both those names would make a lot more sense.
Wow, you are a wise man, gecko, man.
For a free rate quote, visit geico.com to see how much you could save. Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Dr. Ken and Doug with a health question. Does your stomach feel like a war zone? Are you downing over-the-counter stomach aids and antacids like there's no tomorrow? And still, nothing relieves your pain, irritation, bloating, minor gas, and constipation?
Doug, as an MD, I see so many patients needlessly suffering from these symptoms. Relief can be as simple as balancing your digestive health. This is why my first recommendation is to simply add Natron's Healthy Trinity, a brilliant probiotic. Again, if you suffer with occasional stomach pain, irritation, bloating, minor gas, and constipation, let us prove to you how quickly a healthy probiotic regimen can turn things around.
Natron's Healthy Trinity, the pioneer of probiotics for 30 years, serious probiotics. Try the Good Day Healthy Trinity 90-Day Challenge. If you don't have a happy, healthier tummy in 90 days, Natron gives you your money back, no questions asked. Mention Good Day Health for free second-day shipping and a free second bottle. Call 888-9-NATREN, N-A-T-R-E-N, 888-962-8736 or natron.com.
When you're shopping for a home at Wells Fargo, we're with you. That's why we created the Wells Fargo Priority Buyer Pre-Approval. Come in, sit down, and talk with a Wells Fargo home mortgage consultant, and we'll let you know the mortgage loan range for which you could qualify. A Priority Buyer Pre-Approval is a great first step to help you start looking at homes within your price range. Wells Fargo. Together, we'll go far. A Priority Buyer Pre-Approval is not a commitment to lend. Please call for additional program details. Wells Fargo Home Mortgage is a division of Wells Fargo Bank, N.A., member FDIC, equal housing lender.
If you drive a pre-owned GM vehicle and you've never pushed the blue OnStar button on your rearview mirror, now is the time to do it. Because right now, if you're not a current OnStar subscriber, you can try 3 months of OnStar free with no obligation. Push the blue button and tell the advisor you want automatic crash response, help in an emergency, navigation, and more. Offer available on 2006 and newer digitally equipped GM models. Push the button now or visit OnStar.com for coverage map, details, and system limitations. OnStar. Live on.
The greatest speeches.
Government is not the solution to our problem. Government is the problem.
Of all time.
Because this is the party of Lincoln and Reagan.
On The Conservative Voice.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
The Conservative Voice, a two-disc DVD or CD containing some of the most powerful speeches ever. Featured are Ronald Reagan.
Our government is too big.
Sarah Palin.
Let's drill, baby, drill, not stall, baby, stall.
George W. Bush.
I can hear you, and the people who knocked these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
Highlights of speeches from some of the most legendary figures in American political history can be yours now. Here's how to order.
To order, go to www.conservativevoice.us/Doug. That's conservativevoice.us/Doug. conservativevoice.us/Doug.
Talk radio in review. There's a new controversy brewing in the Casey Anthony situation. She's due to be released this weekend, but a judge is deciding whether a jailhouse video of her is going to be released. The video reportedly shows her reaction when she found out the child's body that had been found in a swamp was not very far from her family's home. On Fox, Ainsley Earhart talked to legal analyst Arthur Idala and Tamara Holder about this video and why it was kept from the jury.
We understand that the jury did not see this tape because it would have been highly prejudicial. We have obviously not seen it either as the public. Should the judge have played this tape for the members of the jury?
No. I mean, I think the judge should not have played it for the members of the jury. He made the right decision. Not to get too legalese, but the general rule, the standard is, does the prejudice outweigh the probative value, outweigh the evidentiary value? In other words, judges rule this way a lot of times. If there's gruesome photographs, blood and things like that, where he's like, you don't really need to see this blood to reach the correct conclusion and the outcome of this case. Here he felt that Anthony's reaction was so volatile that it's the volatility of her reaction outweighed the evidentiary value that the jury could take into consideration.
But, Tamara, this video came from the jailhouse. It was of her reaction, apparently, when she found out that a body was found. We don't know yet that it was Kaylee's body. Later, we realized that it was. But we don't know exactly what her reaction was like. Was her reaction more like, I've been caught? Or was it more like, oh, my goodness, my daughter's body could have been found?
Well, the issue isn't what her reaction was. This was strictly limited to the judge not wanting the public to see this video, not the jury. Arthur is partially right that judges can rule whether some kind of evidence, whether it's a video or a crime scene, is too prejudicial for the jury to view. But that was not the judge's decision here. This was strictly limited to pre-trial issues of whether the public should see this because they were concerned about the effect that it would have on the public and on the potential jury pool. So now that the trial is over, the local news station in Florida is saying, we think that this video should be released. It is a public video that the judge recognizes to be public. Now it's over. Now the trial is over. Release the video.
Can you think of a reason why the judge should not release this video to the public?
Sure, because it's the same reason why he didn't initially, to some degree, is that it was going to so severely prejudice Casey
Anthony. Inflammatory, but the trial is over.
He also has he's a public servant. He's supposed to do what's in the best interest of the public. And if he believes that releasing that video is going to incite some nut job to take a certain step against Casey Anthony or to incite riots or anything like that,
okay,
if the tape is so inflammatory, then he has
it.
An indiscretion.
And some of those jurors
hide.
Are very concerned about their safety, perhaps legitimately so.
Radio man John Gambling here with Judge Jeanine Pirro about the CSI effect in this case.
I think, like most people, that she absolutely did do it, and with all the evidence or circumstantial evidence that was there. But I think it's interesting, and I think you're right on the money here about this CSI generation, because we've talked about it here. If it doesn't, in today's world, if it's not happening on, you know, Justice with Judge Jeanine or on YouTube or on someplace else, to a lot of kids and a lot of younger people, it didn't happen.
Well, there's no question. And what you've got here is a, I believe, a total lack of common sense. Circumstantial evidence, John, has been the hallmark of trials since this country began. You've got direct evidence, eyewitness testimony, and circumstantial evidence. I've tried loads of circumstantial evidence homicides. You put the pieces together to the point where it makes sense. If the street is wet and your grass is wet when you wake up in the morning, you can assume that it rained, all right? But if only your grass is wet, you can't assume it rained. Maybe it was a sprinkler. Maybe it was a hose. Maybe it was something. There are certain common sense things that you put together. They left their common sense at that jury room deliberation door. If you want a fingerprint on a decomposed body, then you know what? You're from another planet. If you think that a meter reader is moving a body around for no reason at all, then, you know, I don't think that you can link the pieces together.
All right. Now, listen, you were pretty hard on Cheney Mason, the lawyer here. The defense.
No, Jose Baez.
I'm sorry, Jose Baez. My mistake. Yeah. What do you make of it now? Did he do a good job?
Well, you know what? He got his clients off. He did a good job.
Right.
End of the story. But everybody in that courtroom who has ever been in a courtroom knows that he didn't know how to ask a direct question. He didn't know how to lay a foundation. He was only admitted to practice for 3 years. He had never tried a murder case. He certainly was not death penalty qualified. At the end of the day, he threw everything at the wall and the jury bought it. This child was murdered. You don't put duct tape on the body of a child and then throw it away in a swamp for it to disappear unless she was murdered. And you don't act the way you act. And, you know, they kept saying, well, everybody grieves differently. Hogwash. Don't tell me that if your child that you're so in love with dies, that you go out and get a tattoo that says beautiful life and party and tattoo and booze it up. And you know what? The night of the death that they admit she died, they say by accident, she's with her boyfriend that night having sex and spending the whole day the next day having sex. I mean, come on. What are we dealing with here?
Talk host John McConnell here, focusing on the outrage over the not guilty verdict from the Anthony trial and wondering if it's time to end the broadcast of murder trials on television.
They're broadcasting this on television. Push it over the top. Juror number 12, I read a newspaper article, juror number 12, she's quit her job. She's gone into hiding because of threats and fear of retaliation. She's a cook, and she said she quit her job and is going into hiding because she's afraid. I mean, some of her own coworkers might take out their frustrations on her. Last night on Greta Van Susteren, she was interviewing the jury foreman, who was only known as number 11. I don't know, number 12 is the jury or juror who's in hiding. Number 11, he didn't want his face shown. They interviewed him, didn't disguise his voice, but they shot him from behind where you could not see his face. They had another juror interviewed by other TV stations and such, but he was an alternate juror. So he wasn't in on the deliberation, so he didn't say yay or nay. I mean, he asked questions about, you know, well, how they felt during the trial and everything else. But there, I mean, look, you might disagree with the verdict that they came up with, but death threats? A jury member should be so afraid? How are you going to seat another jury? I mean, I'm looking at, here's a picture in the article that I read. Here's a picture of a woman standing outside of the courtroom, of the courthouse, holding up a big sign, juror 1 through 12, guilty of murder. Juror 1 through 12, guilty of murder. Because they didn't put the opinion out there like everybody else expected. 61% out there thinking she's guilty of murder. They also, you got to remember, they don't have access to the same stuff that you and I do. Once they're actually picked for the jury, and when the media really kicks in, and I'm a member of the media now, so, I mean, I can't say, I haven't talked about this case, but, you know, I've talked about other stuff, too, so. But, I mean, would you serve on a jury like this? Seeing what happened with this woman, who is so scared, she's quit her job, she's gone into hiding, and other people, jurors, are getting death threats. Casey Anthony's getting death threats, her family's getting death threats, but the jurors receiving death threats? How are you going to seat another jury like that? And can the jury start having say-so about having television in the courtroom?
Up next, Derek Jeter hits a milestone and a fan coming under fire for doing the right thing. That's our Focus Talk Radio Countdown Review.
We don't need to convince you that the threat of forced entry is on the rise and that your door locks are inadequate. Now you can virtually eliminate the threat of your door being kicked in with the Door Sentinel. The Door Sentinel offers standalone door kick-in protection for under $67 and installs in minutes on any door. Turn your home or apartment into a fortress. Get the Door Sentinel at SentinelSecurityGroup.com or call 678-648-6757. The Door Sentinel, always on guard for you.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Hey Brian, if you could do just one thing today to ensure your family's food security, what would it be?
That's easy, Bill. I'd head straight to soupbeansurvival.com.
Soupbeansurvival.com?
I know, Bill, it sounds crazy, but this ancient secret has been around for over 8,000 years, and it truly is nature's super survival food.
Really, Brian? The number one survival food? Well, certainly the forgotten survival food.
Absolutely, Bill. The folks at soupbeansurvival.com scoured our planet to find the very best heirloom seeds, to truly find nature's super survival food.
Brian, these aren't grocery store beans, are they?
No way, Bill. You're not going to find these beans in any grocery store. These are the absolute highest quality beans in the world. Visit soupbeansurvival.com. That's soupbeansurvival.com for all the information you're going to need for nature's super survival food.
We're counting down what America's talking about. The Talk Radio Countdown Show continues.
Talk radio and the talk media in general. Derek Jeter is in the focus over the weekend. He got his 3,000th hit, becoming the first player for the Yankees to ever do so. Talk host Danny Schaefer here with Christian Lopez, the fan who caught the ball, and the classy thing he did with the ball.
I want to talk about Derek Jeter's 3,000 hit. Not that, actually. Even though it was cool. Storybook. He goes 5 for 5. He's on the downside of his career. Not a single Yankee's ever gotten 3,000 hits. He gets it over the weekend. He jacks out a home run, and he ends up then getting the winning hit later on. Well, Christian Lopez, the fan who caught the homer. You know, in today's eBay world, in today's I have to get mine world, in today's I got to get paid world that we all live in, this is an awesome story. Christian Lopez, 33-year-old, catches it, and what does he do? Selflessly. We don't hear that word a lot in today's society. He returns the ball to Derek instead of keeping it for cash. Sunday, he's back at the park. He was treated as king of all Yankee fans, surrounded by reporters, treated like royalty by his fellow fans. Lopez basked in the glow of his newfound fame. He was sitting in a front row luxury box with his girlfriend, Tara Johnson. Front row luxury box. It's crazy, said Lopez, in between posing for pictures and beaming ear to ear. This is just really cool. I'm just grateful. Let me play the clip. Here's some audio of what he said.
I'm 23 years old. I have time to pay off my student loans. What Derek Jeter did is spectacular. It didn't even cross my mind until they asked me what I wanted. And, like, the only thing I could think of was, like, no, just signed ball would be nice and to meet him. That's about it. It wasn't about the money. It's about a milestone. I'm not going to take that away from him.
Isn't that refreshing? Here's a 23-year-old kid. He has over $100,000 in student loan debt. Must have went to a decent college. That's $100,000. He says, I have friends who have called me crazy for doing it. I know I did the right thing. It never crossed my mind not to give it back. I'm only 23. Like he said, I have plenty of time to make money. Appraiser says the ball would easily net between $50,000 and $100,000 at auction. Now, I've heard $100,000 plus. It's the first time I've heard under $100,000. Now, I think this is a wonderful story because in today's world, we never hear stories like this. People sue at a drop of a hat. People think they're owed. Everybody's got their hand out. Here's a kid who legitimately, I mean, it's like winning the lottery, you know? He really didn't have a stake in this at all. He didn't hit the 3,000. All he did was lucky enough to come out of the scrum with the ball. I don't know if you saw the footage or not, but there was a bunch of dudes going for it. He's a big boy. He's like 300 pounds.
He's like 6'5", 300 pounds.
Yeah, he's a big boy. And, you know, he muscled his way and he got it. And what does he do? He didn't do what our culture tells us to do.
Radio host Joe Crummy talking to accountant Andrew Appleby about the money that Christian Lopez now owes the IRS over the souvenirs Jeter and the Yankees gave to him.
Do you agree that this kid Lopez now is on the hook for $15,000 based on what?
Well, there's a question as to whether he's actually on the hook for this. So it's a more clear-cut test here. But really what it comes down to is if this is a gift or taxable income. What that really the test for this is a disinterested generosity. So if the donor, the Yankees in this case, gave these valuable goods with disinterested generosity, then it's a gift and he's not on the hook for anything. But on the other hand, if they did this to get the ball back for Derek Jeter or for any other reason that wasn't purely disinterested generosity, which is sort of a tax term for the goodness of their heart, which is interesting to think about with the Yankees in the context of the Yankees. But if they didn't give this out of the goodness of their heart, then he may be on the hook for that. And it's a factual determination.
Wow, see, this is interesting. So in other words, it's sort of a quid pro quo. We'll give you this. Well, aren't they on the hook? Because they said, what do you want? Right? That the kid had the ball, and then the kid says they took him back into some guy's office, and that guy representing the Yankees said, what do you want? So doesn't that mean it's not a disinterested, what was it, generosity? It means it was a quid pro quo.
That's certainly an argument against him not having to pay tax on this. He could, it's a factual determination, so he could try to make the argument. It may be a difficult argument in this case. But on the other side of this, it may not be the IRS may not be too eager to impose tax on this when Mr. Lopez went and did what many people see as the right thing and gave his ball back. So it would be an unpopular position for the IRS to take.
Well, that's funny. So, well, the IRS, nobody wants to. I mean, that's funny. You know, the IRS is a villain anyway. What do they have to lose?
Well, maybe this is a good way for the IRS to show that it's a fair governing body and it's a fair administration of the tax law. So it may be a good opportunity for the IRS.
Who makes the call on that? Andrew, who would make the call on that? Would that be the president calling somebody over at Internal Revenue and saying, hey, lay off? I mean, who would make the call on that?
I'm not sure it would get that high, but it's certainly possible. He is the president is the ultimate boss of the agency. But, you know, it first could go to an IRS agent who would be performing an audit or something like that. So if you want the chain, I'm not sure it would go all the way to the president, but you never know.
You can find out more about the items on the countdown if you visit the Talk Radio Countdown Show, prominently located at DougStephan.com.